My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Hey, everybody. Hey, hello. How's it going?
It's going good because I'm here with you. We're doing another show. We got a fun one today. And we get to take a break from the four teenagers that are downstairs.
Oh, yeah. They've kept it interesting for us, you know?
We did. We played with them for a while, did a little bit of hide and seek with them in the new house. And
I got my steps in for today.
Yes,
between going up and down your stairs.
So, what up, Dax? Hopefully you're listening.
What's up, what's up? Before we get started, we are bringing it back to one of Lowe's and I's, if I don't know if that was grammatically correct, but one of our favorite wines, the St. Julien Peanut Butter and Jelly Wine. Guys, again, don't sleep on this. It's so good.
It's so like good. Biting into the sandwich.
Yes. It just it hits every time. It's a winner. It hits. We love it. Never gets old. I really hope they never discontinue it. And if they do, St. Julien, we know you follow us. Send us a lifetime supply if you ever decide to make that horrific decision.
Or at least a recipe.
Right, yeah, exactly. Preferably the lifetime supply so we don't have to, you know, do all the work.
Also, I want to do a shout out. We got our books.
Woo!
So last week we talked about the Confessions of a Prison Cook, A Fusion of Food and Crime, by Erica Summerfield and Philip Longo, and they hold up. Their books, we got our books, and I'm already chuckling within the first couple pages of reading. There are recipes inside, so it's an actual cookbook as well. So we're going to read some more of it, and then we're going to, as we get into the book a little bit more, we'll share some of our funniest parts of them.
Yeah, I mean, so far what I've seen, I love. I've showed Lo, like, even a couple of the recipe names, like, had me dying. Like, they're just super clever, and I already love it so far. Like, it's great. So, you guys definitely should check it out.
And we will post pictures so you can see them. They'll be on our Instagram, hopefully, later tonight.
See the awesome cover. But yeah, thank you guys for sending that. I'm so pumped to get more into it.
Before we get started on our show, I thought it would be kind of fun. I wanted to just kind of throw out our top 10 stories. So if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know.
So number one was Maddie Clifton. Number two, still holding strong, is Amityville Horror, close second. Which, like Kay said earlier, that it's one of her favorites because we put a lot of work and effort into it.
Yeah, I love that it's, like, at the top because definitely shows that it paid off and that you guys are liking it. So,
and it's our first one we ever did together, so it wasn't our most confident show.
Mm-hmm.
We did about 15.2 million takes.
Yeah.
And then number three, Holding Strong, Amy Fisher. That was just a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Missy Beavers, Carly Guse, Judith Barzi, Lorena Bobbitt, Kenneth Cannell, and Pamela Barnes. That one's just a special story because we actually got to meet some of the daughter of it. American Psycho and Small Sacrifices.
Wow. 10. That is so, it's so interesting to like hear what, you know, people are like wanting to listen to and like what they're like gravitating towards. Because some of them in there are kind of surprising that they're in the top 10 to me. Like American Psycho loved doing that, but I am just like pleasantly surprised, I guess, that it's in the top 10 because I would not have guessed that that would have been in there.
Yeah, me neither. I actually thought that the D.B. Cooper one would have been higher up, but that seems to be the bottom of the barrel for us.
Guys, I feel like we've said this before. D.B. Coops, good episode. I thought, like, I actually really liked that one. And it's not like, you know, a murder type crime or whatever, but it's still true crime.
It was just fun, like, information, true information.
Yeah, it's super cool, so you guys totally have to check that out.
So this story is actually inspired by Corbin Miller, who hails from Oxford and Grand Rapids. Kind of goes back and forth, both
Michigan
cities.
Traveler.
Me and him had a conversation, and it kind of sparked some ideas, and I ran with it, so I'm kind of giving him the credit for the inspiration for this one.
Thank you, Corbin.
Do you know what a pedophobia is?
When you first told me, I thought it was something else, which I won't even, whatever, and I'm sure everybody else is thinking that too, but no, I do now, but I didn't before.
It's not pedophile.
Yeah, that's where my mind went immediately.
It is a fear of dolls.
I feel like I slightly have
and
this.
And it's classified under a broader fear of humanoid figures. Also related to puppophobia. Do you know what puppophobia is?
That one's a little easier to grasp, especially after knowing that the other one's dolls. And I'm like, okay, this has got to be puppets.
Yes. Not to be confused with puppets.
Puppets.
Shout out, Britt. Okay, so growing up in the 80s and the 90s, there were a lot of evil dolls. Like, there was an actual movie called Dolls. And that was, I think it's like an 84, 85, somewhere around there that came out. We would watch it at sleepovers. I remember going to King Video, which it's a little video store in Allen Park, Michigan, close to where I grew up. And you'd go and you'd go in the little section, you'd pick out your scary movie, and you'd just so excited. And that was also the video store before Blockbuster, you know, took over the world.
Oh, yeah.
But I miss going even to Blockbuster, like so many movies to pick from. I'd actually do like a loop like twice before I settled on
one.
And what I really wanted.
I loved going there. Like, they pretty much died out by the time I was like 12, I feel like. That's when they started to like get rid of them. But before that, I just loved, we'd go, I feel like, every weekend to like the video store to like rent a movie. And it was so fun.
Be kind and rewind.
Yep.
Of course, I don't know if you hit the VHS, if you went straight to DVDs the time you were.
I was in the VHS era for a little bit there, okay. But then DVDs kind of sprung in.
But I do love having, like, the streaming at my fingertips. Like, I love going to the video store to pick them out. I hated going back to return the shit.
Right, yeah.
Even they hit a Dropbox and I was just like, oh, God.
Right. That's how they made money, though, because people would either be too lazy to go or they would forget, and then that's how they would charge people. So it was smart on their part. But yeah, the streaming is just very convenient.
Then things got a little bit more edgier as time got on. My KK's favorite, their Child's Play series, hit the big screens, and that is the knockoff of the My Buddy doll. This one is a good guy's doll, and he's supposed to be your best friend.
Don't trust him. Don't trust him. Creepy little guy.
You know, I'm Chucky. Want to play? We're best friends. Until the end.
Ugh. He means it. Until the end.
The world took off with it. I mean, and it's still a Halloween classic. It's a Halloween classic costume. The movies. There's seven of them, including Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky. And then there's actually eight, if you count the reboot that just came out. Mm-hmm. We did the leprechaun thing. I know it's not a doll, guys. I know. But I say it because then I can drop that clue. Like, you know, go back and listen to Leprechaun. They're the same size, so I tried to sneak it in.
Wink, wink, guys. We did a Leprechaun episode. You know, I get it. You know, they're pretty much the same. They have Leprechaun dolls, so that could just, like, fall into that category.
So, in 2014, now we meet Annabelle. Now, this is, like, a crazy demon that resides in this doll. And it's less concerned with taking lives and more interested in claiming souls and attempt to possess the living.
That was scary. Like, you know, Chucky freaks me out, but all the Annabelle movies, like, really, really freaked me the F out.
So, what about real-life dolls? Let's get into that.
Horrifying.
So, we're going to meet...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Annabelle. But before I do that, I also want to bring up that not only with Annabelle, there was also a following that led to The Boy in 2016. We just saw that there is one called Charlotte that came out in 2021. They all have huge cult followings, so people either love them and just can't live without them, can't get enough of it, and then there's some people that are like, hail to the no. I'm somewhere in the middle, in the middle, okay? So the story of Annabelle became famous with the release of The Conjuring series. A student nurse was given a doll in 1970. They said the doll behaved strangely and that a psychic medium told a student that the doll was inhabited by a spirit of a deceased girl named Annabelle. The student and her roommate tried to accept and nurture the spirit-possessed doll, but the doll reported having some malicious and frightening behavior. I mean, at this point, it was at the Warrens say they were first contacted, moving the doll to their museum after pronouncing it demonically possessed. Now, the doll remains in a glass box at the Warrens Occult Museum in Monroe, Connecticut, until the museum's closing. It's then moved on to Texas State University. Assistant Professor of Religious Studies Joseph Laycock says that most skeptics have dismissed that Warner's Museum. They say it's just full of shelf Halloween junk, dolls, toys, books, you know, anything that you can really buy at any bookstore. Commenting on the publicity for Warren's Museum, coinciding with the film coinciding with the film release of The Conjuring, science writer Sharon Hill says that many myths and legends surrounding the Warrens have seemingly been on their own doing, and that many people have difficulty separating the Warrens from the Hollywood portrayal. Now, Hill criticized sensational press coverage of the Warrens' occult museum and its Annabelle doll. She said, like, real-life Ed Warren and real-life Annabelle is actually far less impressive. Of the supernatural claims made about Annabelle by Ed Warren, Hill said that we have nothing but Ed's word for this, and also for history and origins of the objects in the museum. The doll is also described in Gerald Brittle's 1980 biography of the Warren's demonologist. So I guess it's kind of, some people believe it, some people don't. I don't know. I mean, it looks like an old Raggedy Ann doll is what mm-hmm. it was based off of.
Yeah.
It's freaked a lot of people out. And from what I've read, it's in a glass case in a museum. And people had some feels about it when they would go see it.
Yeah, I'm so curious. Like, I hate dolls. And, like, especially if they're, like, known to be possessed. But I would be, like, super curious to, like, see it in a museum. I say that, but would I actually do it? I don't know. But this one, I feel like, has had so much talk around, like, surrounding her. Like, I feel like there's got, like, I feel like there's truth to it, you know? Like, the fact that she's locked in a glass case, like, literally locked, and, like, so many people, like, say that they have different reactions when meeting her, like, it just kind of, like, makes you raise an eyebrow, like, being like, okay, I feel like this could be legit, like, if you believe in that stuff, you know?
Can't say that I don't not believe.
Right? Yeah. I'm definitely leaning towards it being real, but I could be on the fence. I don't know. So the next one is Okiku. And as the story goes, according to modern Japanese folklore, in 1918, a teenager named Ikichi Suzuki purchased a large doll from Hokkaido for his younger sister, Okiku. Tragically, after a year, the little girl passed away from a severe case of the flu. The family created a shrine in her memory, placing the large doll on display. And sometime later, they noticed that the doll's hair, which originally had been cut in like a short bob-type style, had grown past its shoulders, which is so disgusting, I'm sorry. And when the family moved in 1938, they entrusted the doll to the care of Minenji Temple of Hokkaido, where caretakers continue to maintain Okiku and her ever-growing hair. So this doll, its hair just never stopped growing. Like, it was a freaking bob, and now it's just, like, I mean, I can't imagine how long it is now, but...
But can you just, like, imagine, though, like, you get this doll, you put it on the shelf, you know, the hair is, like, to its shoulders, or say... Life gets busy, you kind of forget that it's in, you know, the spare room or whatever, and all of a sudden it's got, like, hair down to her boobs, and you're like, what?
I would be like, who's messing with me?
And do they cut it to see if it grows back? Like,
I would. But also I'd be scared to cut it, because, like, what if it, like, pissed it off or something, you know? That's so wild. Like, that's wild. I don't even understand that.
And then there's Lily. Lily, meet Lily. She is a haunted doll from Salem, Oregon. There you go.
Yeah.
who is now a full-time resident at the Haunted Museum. An antiques dealer found her hidden in an antique chest and then took her into the house. He began having recurring nightmares about this little girl who had a very bad accident. He said the details of the nightmares were too disturbing to tell. He then put the doll in the antique shop where this little girl came in with her parents and spoke to Lily. For 3 hours straight, catching the attention of everyone in the store, the little girl was speaking to her as if Lily was a real child. Like, then told the staff working the antique shop that Lily is a little girl that was subjected to extreme violence. When Zach acquired Lily, an older woman had to physically touch Lily to get her down from where she was perched high inside the case. At the time, the woman looked flushed and began to panic. She repeated over and over, "I gotta wash my hands, I must wash my hands." And then she was immobilized as she began to have sharp pains in her stomach. Lillian is from the 1800s. She's a German doll with real human hair. Zach felt an immense energy the moment he saw the doll, and both parties agreed it was fate that she now resides at the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas.
That's so crazy. The craziest part, I mean, they say kids can, like, pick up on different, like, energies than adults can. So the fact that that little girl was, like, talking to her as if she was talking to, like, another little girl is crazy. And then that the older woman just touched the doll and then immediately was, like, physically in pain. Like, it's weird.
I know my husband just left Vegas for work. And there's always a chance that he can go back there again, you know, at any time when he's working.
Yeah.
So I told him, I sent him, and I was like, next time you're there, I think it'd be cool if he goes in there, if maybe he could take a picture and, like, bring it home for us.
Oh,
like,
I wish,
you know, see it.
That'd
tell us,
cool.
Does he feel weird if he, you know, goes and sees it, or ask the owner about it for us or something.
Right. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Robert the Doll. Now, this is the story that Corbin was kind of going over with me, so this is what put the whole thing all in motion.
Okay.
The story of Robert the Doll dates back to the 1900s when a young boy named Eugene Robert Otto was given a one-of-a-kind hand-mailed doll by a servant that worked for his parents in his home. Now, Eugene, who everyone called Gene, named the doll Robert and quickly became attached to his new friend. The home where Eugene lived, now called Artist House, it's located at 534 Eaton Street and was built between 1890 and 1898. It was there that Eugene was given Robert the Doll, and where the friendship that lasted throughout his lifetime and was beyond forged. Now, while he seemed like any ordinary clothed doll, it wasn't long before Robert was involved in strange and somewhat terrifying events. Like, the first hint that something was out of the ordinary was happening was one night when Gene, who was 10 years old, awoke to find Robert the Doll sitting at the end of his bed staring at him.
Ew. Ew.
Moments later, his mother was awakened by the screams for help and the sounds of furniture being overturned in her son's bedroom. Gene cried for help, begging his mother to rescue him. When she was finally able to wrench the locked door open, she saw poor Gene curled up in fear on his bed. His room was in shambles, and Robert, the doll, just sitting at the foot of his bed.
Could you imagine that being your kid? And that happening? Like, what do you do from that?
You calm yourself down, try to calm him down.
Yeah.
Robert did it with the only words Gene could get out. The same words he would use later many times throughout his childhood when something strange, mysterious, or destructive would happen. Nobody knows for sure why or how this child's plaything could actually wreak such havoc on a child, or the child's bedroom, or anything. After all, it was just a toy, right? But the...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
The weird explicable didn't stop at that occurrence. So, see, Gene's parents often would hear their son upstairs talking to the doll and getting response back in a totally different voice. They reported seeing the doll speak and witnessing his expressions change, giggling, and sighting of Robert's running up the steps or staring out the upstairs window, where he also reported Robert continued to live with Gene throughout his lifetime. And after Gene's parents died, he moved back into their home with his wife, Annie. Jean decided that the doll needed a room of its own and placed him upstairs that had a window overlooking the street. Like, he kept this doll after it terrorized
him. That's insane.
Anne felt uneasy with Robert in the house, and although she couldn't put her fingers on it, she wanted Jean to lock the doll in the attic where he could do no harm. Jean, you know, said, okay, like, if that's what you really want. So, as one could imagine, Robert the doll, well, he wasn't happy with his new digs, okay? Like, he's kind of like, this bitch moves in and I gotta, like, move out. Like, yeah.
This sounds like Ted, but, like, the horror version.
Soon, visitors to the home heard footsteps in the attic, the sounds of someone pacing back and forth, devilishly giggling. Neighborhood children reported seeing Robert watching them from the window in the upstairs bedroom and told accounts of the doll actually mocking them as they walked to school. When Jean heard this, he immediately went to investigate, knowing that he had locked Robert in the attic and there was no way he could be sitting by the window. Well, but to his complete shock, when he opened the door to the bedroom, there was Robert sitting in a rocking chair by the window. Jean locked Robert back up in the attic several times, each time discovering him again and again sitting by the window upstairs.
Dang, I'd be like, okay, he just wants to sit at the window. Let's just let him sit at the freaking window.
Jean Otto died in 1974. And when the new owner moved into the house on Eaton Street, their 10-year-old daughter was delighted to find Robert the doll in the attic.
Oh, no.
But her delight ended soon when she claimed that Robert was alive and the doll wanted to hurt her. She awoke often in the middle of the night screaming in fear and told her parents that Robert had moved about the room. Many believe that the origin of Robert's evil lies in who originally gave him to Jean Otto. But the servant who worked for Jean's parents, the woman who supposedly mistreated her bosses and punished them, and it's believed that she cursed the doll with voodoo and black magic. That might explain the many mysterious and frightening experiences people have had with Robert the doll. But if so, wouldn't the hauntings end when the owner died? Like, no one really knows for sure, but nothing remains consistent. Robert the doll continues to taunt and scare those who come to view him, especially guests of the museum who attempt to take a photo. Many have reported their cameras become inoperable, and they try to take a picture of Robert only to begin working again after they left the museum. Robert the doll sits inside the glass case, but it doesn't seem to stop him from inflicting fear and discomfort into the museum staff and visitors. Staff members report that Robert's facial expressions change, hearing demonic giggles, and even seeing Robert put his hands up to the glass. Meet Robert at the East Martello Museum. Visitors are welcome to view Robert in the special case at the museum, of course, but encouraged to try and get a photo. Though most who've tried been unsuccessful, if nothing else, get a close look at Robert and watch him carefully try to catch a glimpse of himself smirking at you, moving around his case, or watching you as you watch him. And this is at ghostandgravestones.com if you want to read about it.
Oh my gosh, like, the giggling is what gets me. I mean, that's not all that gets me, but the giggling, like, really gets me, because could you imagine, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, first of all, the fact that Eugene or Jean got married, because if I was dating a guy and he told me that he had a doll that he's kept with him that was, like, terrorizing and, like, demonic and, like, possessed, I would be like, oh, huh, I'm never talking to you again. Like, the fact
he might not have told her. She might have just thought it was just a creepy doll. He might have, like,
deceived her and, like,
didn't, yeah, say. Like, she might not date me if she thinks that I have this.
That's true.
Like, I mean, if someone told you that, would you think he's kind of crazy?
Yeah, well, I would, either
or
way.
Or, and if you believed it, you'd say, well, for me to come to your house, not that doll.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he didn't even tell her, which is so fucked up. But this doll just seems so creepy. Like, the movement, the laughing, and the rocking chair on the window, like, ugh. That is truly the scary doll, like, classic story right there. So next there is Ruby. This is from the early 1900s in Providence, Southern Ontario. So passed down from generation to generation, Ruby spent decades in attics and basements. Her owners were all just too uncomfortable to keep the doll on display. Not only did she have a talent for moving from room to room by herself, but whenever she was picked up, her touch like seemed to induce feelings of intense sadness and in some cases nausea. The previous owners believe that Ruby still belongs to their ancestor, a young girl who allegedly passed away while holding her favorite doll. Ruby was eventually donated to the care of a museum where hundreds of visitors have held her, only to experience the overwhelming sadness which comes from the doll. Like, Ruby came to the museum from a friend of a curator named Dana Matthews, whose family had hidden her away in a dusty attic, stuffed into a cardboard box with other items. She had been a treasured heirloom for more than a few generations, but over the years, the family became convinced that Ruby was a bit more than just a doll. According to the family that owned the doll, it possessed some unsettling characteristics. For one thing, it seemed to be only able to move around a room by itself, and was also known to emit eerie, like, unearthly-type sounds. Oddly, too, some family members believed that Ruby possessed the unique ability to make anyone, like, in her immediate proximity, fall suddenly ill with things like headaches, allergies, exhaustion, and most often was extreme nausea. Ruby had belonged to a little girl in the donor's family who, according to legend, died while holding Ruby in her arms. The constant feeling that the spirit of their long-dead relative was still attached to her favorite doll kind of plagued the family members. The family called in a psychic medium to help the spirit pass on, but this effort failed, and after passing the doll from family house to house, they finally decided to give the doll to a museum. Excuse me. At first, nothing happened, and the doll sat quietly on display, like on a shelf in the museum, but shortly after her arrival, the curators began to notice that visitors to the museum would kind of just be drawn to hold the doll and rock her back and forth. While they never became ill, many found themselves overwhelmed with like maternal type feelings. Ruby the doll is both sweet and creepy. Does she represent a phenomenon still somewhat unknown and misunderstood concerning planes of existence and consciousness? Or is she merely the transmutation of her former owner, the little girl reaching out from beyond time and space to be touched and loved? Mm-hmm. Really don't know. But it's kind of, that one's kind of sad because, you know, the little girl who was the owner of the doll died holding her, and the fact that when people would hold it, like, they would feel sadness, that one just kind of makes me sad.
Like, maybe it was her soul transferred.
Yeah, like, it's kind of, like, it's scary.
She wants love.
Yeah, it's scary, but it's also, like, kind of heartbreaking at the same time.
This one is Letta. This doll, when you'll see, because I'm going to post pictures of these dolls, it's short for Letta Me Out. Letta is a 200-year-old wooden doll, again, with human hair. I don't know what it is with the dolls, with the human hair, but yeah, it's a thing. He was discovered beneath a house in Wagga Wagga, Australia, in the 70s by his current caretaker, Carrie Walton. After taking the doll home, he lived in Queens, and he would start hearing strange things. Strange things would happen, like things would be moved, noises would be heard. There's even scuff marks on the floor. His kids would start to have nightmares, and even one night they came into the room claiming to see Letta walking around. Dogs would get angry and very aggressive around him. Guests also claimed to see him move as well. He finally agreed to sell the doll, and when he went to take it to the new owners, couldn't get the doll out of the car. Like, I don't know if it was, like, some kind of physical special force. Like, this style's like, uh-uh, homie, we're bonded. You go, I go where you go. Like,
no getting rid of me.
But he couldn't get it out. I was telling my niece Lulu today, and she said, then you just sell the car, too.
Yeah, I just ditched the car, man.
Walton traced Leta back to the European heritage about 200 years ago and believes that he's a vessel from a boy who had drowned. Leta does do tours around Australia, and you can get pictures with him. And if you're super brave, they'll put him on your lap, and you can take pictures.
That might be too far from me, personally.
So he doesn't sound like he's at least evil. He just sounds like he's...
He has attachment issues.
He just likes to move around and people go to bed. And
yeah.
He just does not want to be without Carrie Walton.
Yeah. Favorite person, I guess.
This one, last one, it's not really, not super scary, but just interesting. So Pulau Ubin, there was a German girl, and there's a shrine on the island of Pulau Ubin that's in Singapore. Yay, Singapore.
Yeah.
It marks the site of a burial unknown of an 18-year-old girl who died on the island. In 1914, after falling from a cliff while fleeing from the British forces who sought to detain a number of German nationals, the resident on the island, her body was recovered and returned into like this little urn on site by the Chinese workers, and a makeshift shrine structure was built. The site was visited frequently by gamblers who thought that the spirit of the girl would bring them good luck. Well, a permanent structure was erected in 1974 by a company carrying out a quarry on the island. Now, since it has been ceased, the shrine is now within Kitam Mountain Bike Park. Visitors often leave offerings, including makeup and Barbie dolls, on the site. In 1910, the island in the British Crown Colony of Singapore, it was home to two German families, the Brands and the Mulligans. Who ran coffee plantations. Now, the island was also a key source of granite used in construction of building infrastructures on the Singapore mainland. And it was home to a number of quarries. The outbreak of the First World War, in which Germany was conflicted with Britain in July of 1914, led the British to detain German nationals on the security grounds. Now, the British military forces was sent there to detain the Germans, but the 18-year-old daughter was one of the families that fled from the British forces into the wooded area. A number of days later, her body was found covered in ants and discovered by the Boyneys plantation workers. Now, the girl had died after falling down a cliff, and the workers covered the body with sand, laid flowers there, lit incense before offering prayers for the girl whose name is unknown. So the Chinese workers later recovered the body and buried the girl at the crest of the hill above the quarry. Again, she was in this urn, and then they had a crucifix for her, a number of coins. She was Roman Catholic, so I'm guessing that's why the coins. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
A makeshift shrine, and she... It was constructed over the grave, which became associated with good luck. Again, the gamblers from Singapore and Malay Peninsula visited the shrine to make offerings in hope that the spirit of the German girl would bless them with good fortune. In 1974, the company constructed a more permanent shrine described as small yellow Chinese temple on site. It is believed that the girl's remains were exhumed, and this time her remains placed in an urn at the site. I feel like this girl's been moved a lot.
Yeah, like I feel like that's like bad juju. Voodoo, yes. Yeah.
The quarrying declined on the island in the 1970s, with the last sighting shutting in 1999. The number of residents dropped from around 2,000 to fewer than 100, and the island became a refuge for wildlife. The shrine in the southwest of the island is now located in Kitam Mountain Bike Park. The German shrine continues to attract visitors who leave offerings of nail polish, perfume, makeup, and Barbie dolls for the spirit of the girl. The shrine has been adorned with Christmas decorations. Which also attracts the average 4 to 5 visitors a week and has been renovated in February 2015. Now, according to the website Wattpad, there is no proof that the doll is actually haunted, but people still make it like a pretty popular request. And there was actually a request for a purchase from behind the grave. I know there was also... Someone had said that they had a dream about this doll, and he didn't know what it was or why, but he went to a location and found the doll and happened to see it.
Whoa, that's so weird. That whole story, like, yeah, like you said, like, I feel like they just moved her around a lot, like, kind of, like, used her body for their own... like, for their own good or purpose or whatever they wanted to do with it, which I feel like is just kind of, like, disrespectful to, like, her.
Yeah, it sounds like the Chinese were trying to, like, lay her and give her a nice little, just, you know, little bit of peace. And then other people were just like, nope, let's move her again.
Yeah. I don't know. That one's super interesting. And I wonder if, like, even today people are, like, going there and trying to, like, purchase these.
I don't know, Singapore. Write us and let us know.
Yes, let us
know.
Is
this still a big deal?
Right? And if you know more about it, just shoot us an email or a social media message.
Send us some pics.
Yeah. And if you guys have your own personal, like, anybody listening, your own personal, like, creepy doll story, send it to us, because we would love to read that.
Absolutely. Send us a picture, the story.
How
you dealt with it. Do you keep it? Did you get rid of it?
Right. Like, how... I feel like if I personally had a doll and it was, like, clearly, like, haunted of some sort and I wanted to get rid of it, I feel like I would be so nervous at the way that I got rid of it, because, like, I wouldn't want to, like, piss it off, but I would want to make sure that, like, the spirit or whatever, like, actually left, and I didn't do it in, like, a, like, disrespectful way or whatever, like, but it's like, how do you even go about doing that?
I know, my mom has one. It needs to be fixed. I think my brother ripped the leg off or the arm off when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an old porcelain doll. It was, like, her grandma's.
Okay.
So there's some history and storage. Not storage, but ancestry, and I don't know. It's in storage in her closet somewhere. And when I still lived there, I'd be in the computer room, and she had it sitting in this chair, and I'm just like, and I would, like, turn it around or, like, hide it, and she'd always put it back out. And she keeps tormenting me, telling me that one day she's going to give it to Charlotte. And I'm like, not till that girl's living on her own.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's still at my mom's house, but she's like, I'm going to get it fixed. And it's Charlotte. It's, you know, it's her namesake and heritage. I'm like, oh, dear God.
You're like, hopefully she doesn't get it fixed till she's much older.
Yeah. I mean, can't you just give her some nice crystal or something?
Yeah. Right. Something that wouldn't freak you out.
So that was our fun episode. I thought it would be a fun one to kind of...
Lighten the mood
and stay, you know, all the true dark stuff that we do.
Yeah, I feel like the past 4 episodes have been super dark and, like, really intense. So this is definitely a fun one to kind of give us all a breather for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you, Corbin, for inspiring this idea.
What? And thank you guys for listening and, you know, keeping us going strong.
Yes, definitely. We appreciate you. And we will talk to you guys again next week.
Yep, get those tickets in.
Don't forget, it's coming up, so definitely want to get those in. But yeah, until then, stay creepy.
We gots to go.
Bye.
Bye-bye.